Thank you for joining us on Easy's Community Focus, where we look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. In February, I was fortunate to interview a nationally renowned artist, Lloyd Gorodetsky, who created the Gator in the Bay for Art Basel in 2012, and in February had a new installation called Let Love Guide Your Way at Dewey Park as part of the International Kinetic Art Festival in Boynton Beach. Lloyd, thank you for coming back again.
Thank you, Ellen.
I understand this has evolved into a whole kindness campaign.
A national campaign to celebrate kindness and universal love.
So this is something we all know that we need very much. But we're really not focusing on you today because you have introduced me to someone who is the director of one of our local treasures.
Today, Let Love Guide Your Way is not stealing the thunder from Louise Irvine, who is the director of the Wiener Museum of Decorative Arts in Dania Beach.
And why are you connected with Louise?
Well, I am a firm believer of supporting your community, and it all begins in your backyard. And the Wiener Museum is a very special collection that is in my backyard.
As it happens, some people may have seen it and not realized what they were seeing because it's located on the second floor of the Gallery of Amazing Things. And yet we've just learned that it is now a top-rated destination on TripAdvisor in Dania Beach. Louise Irvine, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
It is such a pleasure. How did you come to be director of the Wiener Museum of Decorative Arts?
Well, as you'll probably gather pretty early on, I hail from Britain, and I've had for many years an interest in ceramic art. And I got to know the founder of the museum many years ago because of his passion for Royal Doulton, which was what he began by collecting. And about 5 years ago, he decided to share his treasures with the rest of the world. And rather than keep them stored in boxes and have his house overflowing with them, he founded a museum. And he invited me to come and curate the collection and put on the exhibitions and draw people's attention to the beauty of the fired arts.
The arts are magnificent. I was fortunate enough to be there back in May.
On International Museum Day, I think, is the actual day you came to see us, which
yes.
was a great opportunity to draw museums in our community to the public attention. And so we were thrilled at the response and more people getting to know that there is a world-class museum in their backyard.
Right. Now, what sets your museum apart from the average museum? Decorative arts, that's kind of a niche, right?
It is indeed, because most people, when they go to museums, think they're going to see paintings hanging on a wall or sculptures in bronze. But we represent what we call the fired arts. In other words, glass and ceramics, an aspect of the decorative arts. And there have been, in some people's minds, a division between the two. But we believe that the decorative arts are every bit as important as the so-called fine arts. Mm. And so we celebrate all the wonderful pottery and porcelain treasures. And we have collections that have been made in Great Britain and in Europe. We have a wonderful collection from South Africa called Ardmore Ceramic Art. And we also have a spectacular glass collection, most notably the work of Dale Chihuly.
Right. And you say Chihuly, everybody knows immediately what you're talking about.
And that's very true. Many people who have heard of Chihuly then recognize us as being a place to come to see Chihuly. But then they're introduced to all sorts of other wonderful artists in both ceramics and glass. So he definitely is the main draw and is well known in South Florida for the installations at Fairchild and collections in other museums. But we have an amazing collection of Chihuly.
Well, that's the thing. Once you get there, you see the Chihuly, you recognize the Chihuly, but you start walking around and there are pockets all over the place. It's like being in a home mm-hmm. with lots of little rooms and each room has its own specialty. I remember walking through the tea room.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, I would love to sit and have tea and scones in this room. It made me feel like I was in England. Tell me how you decided what is going in which room and what to focus on.
Well, that's part of the role of being a curator and exhibitions organizer, which is what I do mainly at the museum. So trying to look at the collection and interpret it in a way that is relevant to people so that they, like you, can understand what it's like
right.
to take tea from beautiful porcelain. But not many people, when they're drinking a cup of tea or coffee, photography, think back to the early days of why tea became so socially important, why it became a ritual.
Yeah, no, so, now we're just putting a pot in a curry.
Yeah, exactly. And yet it was a very, very expensive. It was a luxury drink. It was only elegant society ladies initially who could afford it.
And it had to be brought from India, right?
From China originally. And then actually when it started to be grown in India, the prices started to come down and it became more affordable. And then it became the British national drink, right. The national brew. So we tell the story in a little exhibit called The Art of Tea, telling the evolution of tea because it was so important for the ceramic industry. They had to make the beautiful equipage, the porcelain teapots, the cups, the saucers, so you could enjoy this elegant repast. So with your, no, pinkies are not up.
They're not.
No, it's fun. We do occasionally have tea parties at the museum where we actually take tea from Royal Albert, China, and it's all very elegant experience. And often before I go through the sort of anecdotes about tea drinking and make sure everybody knows what's correct. So I'm afraid you don't put your pinky up in the air.
Movies must have misled us somewhere
along the way. They
certainly did,
yes. Yeah.
You have other events. You do a monthly series with the glasswork with one of the local
artists.
Yes,
we have classes that go on. Again, we're very involved in the community of artists here, and we have some very talented glass artists working in both fused glass and blown glass. And whilst we can't actually blow glass in the museum for obvious reasons, we do fused glass classes. Lady called Chelsea Russo does regular classes. And that gives the public the opportunity to come in and make their own work of art.
And you don't have to be an artist to do that. You can come in and know nothing.
Absolutely not. I mean, you just have to want to create. And maybe you don't even know you've got that feeling within you. But Chelsea makes it so simple and so straightforward, step by step. And just to see the joy on people's faces when they come back a week later and pick up the fired piece, it's really extraordinary. And they know, did I really make this?
Right.
It's exciting. So we want to support, with art classes. We've had pottery classes as well. We also support the local artists in our museum shop because we have jewelry made by local artists. We have glass. We have pottery. So we're very much involved in that aspect as well. So it's not just about the past. It's about keeping the fired arts alive today and having that as part of the process.
And you also do a lot to help bring new generations into the understanding of the art, working with the Girl Scouts and, you know, you're involved with community organizations and charity foundations to bring people in and hold parties so they can get to know about it.
Absolutely. I mean, we like to say we're so for all years learning. It's a throughout our lives, we never stop to learn. And we're open every day, Monday to Friday, from 10 to 5. So we have a lot of older visitors who have the leisure time to come and enjoy. And we have busloads coming from the communities all around to enjoy the event. So keeping that sort of ongoing learning going is part of it. And at the other end of the spectrum, we're very anxious to introduce young people to the cultural aspects of life. They may not have been exposed to it in today's disposable society, but they come and there's always something to enjoy. And we do programs with them where they can make pieces and draw pieces and also find out about the oldest crafts. I mean, the making of pottery was and pottery figures and pottery vessels is the oldest craft known to mankind.
Yeah, and they were all used, they had a purpose back then. It was, you know, we're making pottery to eat from.
But even pottery for other purposes, figurative pottery for religious purposes, for symbolic purposes. I mean, again, that goes way back, much earlier than you can imagine that people were making it.
Then.
Yeah, no. Unfortunately, neither was I. Sometimes I feel a bit like that, but no. But yes, so we don't have the actual pieces going back to that age, but we have that amazing tradition in ceramic art that we can talk about. And then people get to see the beautiful treasures that adorn people's homes in the 18th century, in the 19th century, in the 20th century. And they see a style of living that has passed, but is equally relevant today in understanding art and design.
Right. And history and culture. Yeah. Now, if someone has a group that they'd like to bring in, is there a minimum or maximum number of people?
No, there's not. I mean, mean, we make special arrangements for groups over 20, but they just have to contact us. And we have a visitor services manager, Kimberly Sheridan, and she makes all the arrangements for larger parties to join us. But we have walk-in arrangements. If people come in at any point during the day, they can have a guided tour at 11:30 and 2:30 by an expert docent.
You're open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5. Mm. Do you, other than special events, have weekend openings?
We have what we call our Sensational Saturday programs, and we typically have one a month through the season. So we don't have anything immediately through the summer months, but then eventually, by the time we get to September, we're ramping up again for the season. So every Saturday opening, we usually theme that, and we have some kind of activities going on as well as our openings.
And can someone do a private party? Can they rent the place, say, on a Saturday when you're not open to the public?
That's all organized through the Gallery of Amazing Things, because on the first floor, they are an event space, and they organize many private parties. A little bit more complicated through the museum, but we do partner with them to do special events and conferences and cocktails, etc. So yes, we do, but we do partner with the gallery to make those arrangements.
If someone wants to come and see your collection and go on a guided tour, where can they get information? What's your website?
Yes, www.wmoda.com.
Wmoda, that's easy enough.
Wmoda.com.
And that's for the Wiener Museum of Decorative Arts. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, you can actually see a museum piece of the Let Love Guide Your Way weather vane, a smaller version of the original 16-foot installation at Dewey Park in Boynton Beach.
The museum collectibles was actually created by request from my curators, because they were saying, Lloyd, we want to sell your art, but it's too big to fit inside the building.
A little too big to just throw in the car, too.
So could you come up with something creative that will be a little smaller, and the replica version? So the engineering of that's a little different, and it's assembled with five pieces. And what makes it unique and accepted in the emergence and realm of where art and design meets science and engineering is that it's assembled without a glue or a screw or a weld. And it only assembles one way, like a puzzle.
And then it spins just like a real weather vane. Mm.
Yes, it has a frictionless bearing system, part of the engineering and invention to the piece. Mm.
And then you do different bases.
Different heart-shaped bases cut out of stone, natural stone, which just adds to the concept of the singular form of the weather vane standing on the world, sitting on the world.
I didn't realize the base heart represented the world. So that's another new concept behind this that you can see when you look at the piece, and there's an explanation about it. And you can also see more about it at letloveguideyourway.com, and even input your own stories of kindness, because that is a major aspect of that campaign and project.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Louise Irvine. What you're doing with WModa, the Wiener Museum of Decorative Arts, is fantastic. Congratulations on being a top choice on TripAdvisor.
Well, thank you. That's really the visitors voting for where we fit into the community. And for many months, we lingered just behind the beach, but finally we beat the beach.
How about that?
So we are the number one thing to do in Dania Beach.
That's a high five.
Yep,
congratulations. And again, you can find it. The address is 481 South Federal Highway in Dania Beach. It's the second floor of the Gallery of Amazing Things, but its own unique museum of decorative arts, where you'll find the fired arts, the glass, the ceramic, pottery from all over the world. The Royal Dalton, Wedgwood, Copeland, Chihuly, of course, Lalique, things that I'd heard of but really didn't know where they came from, and now we can find out. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I invite our listeners to go and visit the Wiener Museum of Decorative Arts, the website again, WMODA.com. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.